I'm Manny Pacheco, and we're exploring another hour of Forgotten Hollywood based on my book series I'd Like You to Read, and Joe Lyons will entertain us with one of his On the Backlot reports. No piece of cinema in the second half of the 20th century has had more of an impact on theater-going audiences than American Graffiti. The young stars, the director, and the score forever changed the fabric of society, with green lights on future projects including Star Wars and Indiana Jones, while allowing the small screen to turn back the hands of time with programming that included Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, and The Wonder Years. Richard Dreyfuss, Ron Howard, Harrison Ford, Cindy Williams, and George Lucas remain relevant four decades later. Forgotten Hollywood examines a simpler time with a 1950s genre of music that my good friend Art LeBeau and Wolfman Jack in the motion picture coined with affection as oldies but goodies.
First
to the eye,
you may start with a simple conversation like, darling, please put me on trial. She says yes, and your heart starts beating, while each step draws you closer. You ask her if she loves you, she answers, I do. Your heart starts glowing inside, and then you will know she is just for you, while each step draws you closer. To the eye. Then you put a ring on her finger. Then the tears start flowing a while. Then you'll know she's yours forever. While each step draws you closer. She says yes, and your heart starts beating, while
each step
draws you closer,
closer
to the
My love must be a kind of blind love. Anyone but you.
Give up.
I don't know if it's cloudy or bright. I only am eyes for you. The moon may be but I can't see a thing in the sky. I only have eyes for you. I don't know if we're in a maybe millions of people
come on, come on.
Go by.
Manny Pacheco here, and today we're spending treasure time with an independent masterpiece, American Graffiti. Who doesn't love the flamingos? The plot of the motion picture takes place one evening in the life of teenagers who are hesitant but ready to enter the next phase of their adult lives. The action centers on the cruising lifestyle that permeated Americana in the early 1960s. The youngsters' idols were presumably Marlon Brando, James Dean, Elvis, and Sandra Dee. The president was the youthful John F. Kennedy, and the rebellious shenanigans were the order of the day before university beckoned at the end of an innocent summer evening in 1962. All of their car radios were tuned to the same rock and roll radio station. Forgotten Hollywood listens in.
Answer the phone, dummy.
Pinky's Pizza.
Yeah, listen, you got any more of those secret agent spy scopes?
Hip parade on the stethoscope.
No, the secret agent spy scope, man. That pulls in the moon, the stars, the planets, and the satellites, and the spacemen.
You must have the wrong number, partner.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well. My need. Pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one can tell. Whoa, yes, I'm the great pretender. Adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you've left me to dream all alone. Too real is this feeling of make-believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Yes, I'm the great pretender. just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown, pretending that you're still
crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. I am happy with the Lord. Just a plain and simple chapel where all good people go to pray. I prayed the Lord that I'll grow strong as I live from day to day. I searched, but I couldn't find no way on earth to find peace of mind. Now I'm happy in the chapel where people are of one accord. Yes, we gather in the chapel just to sing and praise the Lord. You'll search, but you'll never find no troubles to the chapel. Get down on your knees and pray. Then your burdens will be lighted, and you'll surely find
one of the great doo-wop groups, the Orioles, with more trips down memory lane, most likely in a 62 Impala.
And now, back to Forgotten Hollywood.
Since I don't have you, to the great imposter, I stood and watched her fall. Couldn't help her at all. Poetry,
poetry,
so sweet,
so sweet,
has her at his feet. She thinks she's the one, but he has just begun. All her friends, they just watch her,
watch her,
for they know the great imposter.
Imposter.
Don't she know he's on a stage?
Ra-da-da, ra-da-da,
it's not real, it's just a play.
Ra-da-da, ra-da-da,
and he's playing the part.
Ra-da-da.
Friends, they just watch her,
watch her,
for they know the great imposter. Just watch her,
watch her,
for they know the great
imposter,
and she's soon to join the roster, for they know the great imposter, and she's soon to join the roster, for they know the great
This is Manny Pacheco on Forgotten Hollywood, the Fleetwoods with a seldom heard gem. American Graffiti was loaded with up-and-comers in supporting roles including Paul LaMatte, Candy Clark, Charles Martin Smith, Mackenzie Phillips, Suzanne Summers, Beau Hopkins, and Kathleen Quinlan. At the time, most of these actors were barely scraping the landscape of cinema. After the film's release, they would enjoy splendid careers. The backstory also captured the popular radio scene at the time, made popular in Southern California by Art LeBeau, Huggy Boy, Jimmy O'Neill, Bob Eubanks, Wink Martindale, Hunter Hancock, and of course, Wolfman Jack. This is Forgotten Hollywood.
Who is this on the Wolfman telephone?
Diane.
How you doing, Diane? All
right. That's the Wolfman.
Kill me.
He's on tape. The man is on tape. Well, where is he now? I mean, where does he work?
The Wolfman is everywhere.
But no, Orella, that my lover was just for you.
My darling, I need you to call my own and never do wrong, to hold in mind your little hand. I'll know too soon that all is so grand. Please hold my hand.
My head, you're up. My head is wrong. To try. That my lover was just for you.
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Manny Pacheco sharing the absolute synergy of American Graffiti. The genesis of the project captured the director's own teenage years in the early 1960s, Modesto, California. George Lucas was unsuccessful in pitching the concept to financiers and distributors, but finally found favor at Universal Pictures after United Artists, 20th Century Fox, Columbia Pictures, Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, Warner Brothers, and Paramount Pictures turned him down. By the way, the producer was Francis Ford Coppola, prior to his work on The Godfather. I'm not kidding. The lineage of this film was simply incredible. Forgotten Hollywood provides more audio gems for you.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, baby. Oh, I love you so. 16.
Yeah. baby, baby, I'll have you for me. It's funny, honey, you don't care. You never listen to my prayer. Maybe, baby, you will love me someday. Well, you are the one that makes me glad, and you are the one that makes me sad. When someday you want me, well, I'll be there, wait and see. Maybe, baby, I'll have you. Maybe, baby, you'll be true. Maybe, baby, I'll have you for me. Well, you are the one that makes me glad, and you are the one that makes me sad. When someday you want me, well, I'll be there, wait and see. Maybe, baby, I'll have you. Maybe, baby, you'll be true. Maybe, baby, I'll have you for me. Maybe, baby, I'll have you for me.
Buddy Holly was one of the three rock and rollers who perished in 1959 on the day the music died. The others were Ritchie Valens and the Big Bopper. Holly's career lasted a mere 18 months. We'll return in a moment. Manny Pacheco here. Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History, and Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History shares Americana through the eyes of actors who appear under the titles of such iconic movies such as The Wizard of Oz.
That's a horse of a different color. Come on in.
Casablanca.
I'm shocked to find that gambling is going on in here.
And It's a Wonderful Life.
A discontented, lazy rabble instead of a thrifty working class.
Son of Forgotten Hollywood, Forgotten History was recently a 2013 gold medal recipient from the Reader's Favorite Book Awards, complete with a star-studded ceremony in Miami. You can purchase the entire Forgotten Hollywood book series on Amazon and at independent bookstores, and you can download the first paperback to your virtual library as an ebook for your Kindle, Nook, or on your favorite e-reader through Apple. The Forgotten Hollywood book series is a perfect gift. I invite you to visit ForgottenHollywood.com and pick up a copy of these books today. This is Forgotten Hollywood. I'm Manny Pacheco. As the movie suggests, where were you in 62?
Love that girl. Because I love her, love her so, oh, 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 dear. Yes, I love her. Yes, I need her. Oh, I love that girl.
Love that girl.
Manny Pacheco with you, and I'm your audio guide on Forgotten Hollywood. American Graffiti was released to critical acclaim and financial success, and it was nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. Produced on a $777,000 budget, it has become one of the most profitable films of all time. Since its initial release, American Graffiti has garnered an estimated return of well over $200 million at the box office gross and home video sales. That includes merchandising. Not bad for a film that doesn't feature spaceships, a killer shark, the mafia, an ocean liner destined to strike an iceberg, or snakes. But on Forgotten Hollywood, the tunes live on.
I'll be alone each and every night. While you're away, don't forget to write. See you.
Da 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 da.
Well, before we exit...
Hi, I'm Joe Lyons. Welcome to this week's visit to On the Backlot. Many people have said that the movies would replace reading. Well, here on the Backlot, it's a known fact that reading keeps Hollywood alive. Books are truly the backbone of the motion picture industry. Think about it. Names like Arthur Conan Doyle and Charles Dickens, Ian Fleming and Mickey Spillane, Danielle Steele and J.K. Rowling. I could go on. So many great movies have come out of the pages of books. And not just great novels like Gone with the Wind by Margaret Mitchell or Ben-Hur by General Lew Wallace. Some movies like Die Hard or The Outlaw Josie Wales came from lesser-known books that inspired someone to film the story. Some books even get told twice. Dashiell Hammett's The Maltese Falcon got filmed three times. Bogart's version was the third. A Christmas Carol has been done countless times and with many variations. Certain film characters like James Bond, Sherlock Holmes, and even Harry Potter have created franchises that have made millions for the industry. Many great authors, especially in the early days, actually moved out to Hollywood and wrote directly for the films. So how does an author feel about his work becoming a movie? Well, someone asked Joseph Wamba, who wrote a great series of police procedurals, how it felt to see his words come to life here on the Backlot. Wamba responded that his words came to life when he put them down on paper. Two Clive Cussler novels, Raise the Titanic and Sahara, have been made into movies, and Cussler has sued the producers both times. He felt they did not do his books justice. Nonetheless, many authors see the Hollywood contract as a natural part of the writing experience, and some film scripts have come out of novels before they've even hit the shelves. You might want to check iTunes. You'll find movies based on books available for download. And many actors have mentioned that they love to play roles based on novels because they get backstory and subplots that give them more to work with in their performances, more depth. Now, Manny, I know you've said the same thing I have. One or another movie just didn't do the book justice, but Hollywood's inspiration and good intention was still there. So don't be surprised to find books here on the Backlot.
Thank you, Joe Lyons, for your capital report on the Backlot. And to my producer, Steve Guzman, let's visit one of those burger joints with a car hop. I feel like some onion rings and a vanilla malt. Let me close with a George Lucas interview and his analysis about the impact American Graffiti had on the era of the 1970s and the baby boom age of the 1950s.
When I did... American Graffiti, it was sort of an experiment. I was sort of moving out of my genre, what I really wanted to be doing, which was these more crazy kinds of movies. When I did THX, it sort of came and it went. And I did American Graffiti, and I got all this feedback from people who had seen the film, how important it was to their life and what a difference it made in their life, and that they'd forgotten. Because there had been a funny period in history. There were kids that had sort of forgotten that you could be stupid. It was okay, and, you know, being stupid around girls was okay, and girls being stupid around boys, being obsessed with boys was okay. You know, this little generation of free love and do drugs and drop out, and, you know, everything was, when I grew up, was very different. I mean, I grew up in the kind of 50s, and just as I got out of high school, it switched in 1962 to this other world, which was all through college, which didn't have anything to do with that. Everything was... very topsy-turvy. But a lot of the people, and this was 10 years later, you know, 1972, people were saying, you know, gee, it's great not to be so cool. It's great not to, you know, it's great to be nervous about asking a girl to go to bed with you and stuff. Because that's the way I feel. Only you're not supposed to feel that way, and you don't really have to feel that way now. But going back to the way it was, I think, helped a lot of people sort of get their bearings again with their feelings and about their normal... sensibility about the way the world works.
Join us next week for another edition of Forgotten Hollywood. And remember, let's never forget. I'm Manny Pacheco.
the meadows of my heart. High up in the sky, the little stars climb, always reminding me that we're apart. You wander down the lane and far, far away, leaving me a song that will not die. Love is now the stardust of yesterday, the music of the years gone by. Sometimes I wonder why when our love was new, and each kiss an inspiration. But that was long ago. Now my consolation is in the stardust of a song beside. Stars were bright, you were in my arms. The nightingale tells his fairy tale of paradise where roses bloom. Though I dream in vain, in my heart.